The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Well, this has the potential to be an absolute disaster, this Willow Talk. We normally have a structure around this show. We have Mark Waugh and Matthew Hayden in Australia.
Yeah, we're right, Cookie. We're right,
mate. Great. Yeah, Byron Cook over here trying to hold the show together. Yeah. And then Swanee over in the UK. But this time, Junior, it's Haydos over there with Swanee in the UK. And we can't control them from this far away.
Pelicans over there.
He's back. Hayden's back in England, where he belongs.
I haven't been feeling the love either, so it's just nice that I'm here with G-Man. We've got a little snuggle booth here that we can go to town on.
He's as cuddly as ever.
Okay. Other than all the snuggling going on, Haydos, can you explain why you're in the UK and not where you normally are?
There's been a fantastic event, the Help for Heroes game. So there's been pretty much every player that we've played against, apart from Junior, of course.
Who obviously turned the invitation
down. How come I didn't get a game?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the go?
You should have been asked, I would have thought. The Rolls-Royce is featured out in the Oval many times before. So,
exactly.
Yeah, the big... But anyway, look, Cookie, short answer, mate. We're here to play a game and support Help for Heroes there. So it's a great campaign.
You're out there with some absolute legends of the game. Obviously not Junior, which was awkward for him, but MS Dhoni
I think
there.
They thought that Phil Tufnell might be playing, so Junior, they were saving his embarrassments.
Yeah. Thought I might break a few windows in the
flats
next door.
There we go. We want to talk about the match down the road. Some great players in action as well. So we'll get to that. Brian Lara was there, Jay Wardner, Damian Martin. It just goes on and on. So we'll get to that. And some big guests as well for this Willow Talk, including Dean Jones is next. Dino.
Yeah, Dino. What a legend. Great player, wasn't he, Jonesy? Bit of a showman too, wasn't he? He was before his time, especially in one-day cricket. Fantastic player.
Yeah, he really sort of, I reckon, revolutionised one-day cricket in a lot of ways. He's running between the wickets and just his general ability, agility and ability to turn over strike. That was something that Jonesy brought to the table.
Yep.
Was
a show pony in the field, though, wasn't he? Those big, high, looping
well,
throws.
That massive throw, yeah.
I mean, all right, we'll get to that with Dino, guys. We'll talk to him in a second.
All about that.
All your usual segments, including Stump Junior, where he answers cricket trivia questions. How will he go? Will he finally get it right? Young Jonty Patterson, there's a gun, a young Australian under 19, part of the Sydney Thunder lineup. That's on the other side of the coin. Young Junior's coming through. So it's all happening. Scott Styrus and more. This is Willow Talk with Junior, Haydos and Swanee. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Junior Waugh, Matty Haydos Hayden and Graham Swan. We have a special guest on the line, Order of Australia, thank you very much, and one of Australia's most successful one-day batsmen, an outstanding fieldsman. He just won the 87 World Cup and the 89 Ashes, no problem. Dean Jones is on the line, guys.
Dino,
here's the
how
ledge,
are you, mate?
Dean Jones.
Ledge. Hey, guys. I don't know why you're speaking to me, but anyway, we'll go for it.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Dino? You're all-seeing and all-knowing on the game, pal.
Well, it's interesting times, you know, where players, how they actually prepare themselves compared to the times that we played, boys, in regards to do you actually agree to go on tours to Bangladesh now where you might need a break? You know, and all that type of stuff. You know, like, do you need to play
your view?
One
what
day
do you reckon?
Series? All that type of stuff.
For me,
straight away, I think it's absolutely ridiculous us taking Mitchell Starc to Bangladesh. I know he's got an ankle problem. I know he needs to be out for 10 weeks. But I would have thought for him to be ready maybe against the West Indies for three tests and maybe for the T20 World Cup. But he needs 10 weeks off to get this ankle right. And I can't believe we're sending him to Bangladesh.
Well, so what does that mean? Does that just mean that our support staff at home in and around the States aren't rated?
Well, I can sort of answer that because we did talk about it a fair bit at the selection table, Mitchell Starc.
It's good to hear he's got some say.
The injury he's got, it will need surgery at some stage, but he wants to keep playing at the moment. You know, it's not worrying enough to have the surgery at the moment. He thinks he can get through this summer in the World Cup, the T20 World Cup, before he needs that surgery. So that's where it at. He has played a lot of cricket, though, and he did look a little bit flat towards the back end of the one day series. So yeah, look, I take your point, Jonesy.
I have a bloke called Bat Pad, and he tells me a lot of things. And Bat Pad has whispered to me that he needs surgery, and he and the medical staff have said no to it. So I don't know whether or not the medical staff is trusting other people to get the actually get the right opinions on things. So
well, there's enough medical staff there. You think that you know they would get the right opinion. There's plenty of knowledge there around the team with the medical staff.
Well, so. Don't worry about the team. It's just I'm worried about Fries. He's had spurs in his ankles, and I reckon he's a major player in our team. And I don't think he needs to go to Bangladesh or even play against maybe New Zealand in the first test series just to get his ankle right and get him ready for the T20 World Cup.
Right, we've taken your point. We're going to move on now, Jonesy. What about what about the Ashes, mate? What did you make of our performance, particularly the batsmen, and where did they go wrong?
Well, you know, you blokes obviously know more than I. You've been over there, but watching it from afar, I think a lot of our guys say that's the way we play. We go hard after the ball. That's the style of game that we want to play. And that's fine on flat tracks and all that. But when it's swinging and spinning and doing a few things, you've got to pull your horns in a little bit. And I don't know about you. Well, I know what it was when I played against you boys. The dearest thing to you was your wicket. You didn't like giving it away. And I just feel today that the guys are prepared to go for the big shot and not trust their defence enough to get through tough times. And I don't know whether they can get through tough times. And don't play the ball late enough. They didn't know where their off stump was at times. And that's mainly because, as you guys know, you guys had a lot of time at playing over England. I played county cricket. I played club cricket up in Yorkshire, etc. And you just learn how to play on those awful pitches or when the ball's swinging around. And these guys, the young guys today, if it's not flat, they're not going to go and bat on practice pitches. It might have a bit in them. So, you know, unfortunately, they don't trust their defence enough or have enough pride in their defence. It's okay to make 35 runs in a session, but the pressure of them wanting to play and make this brilliant 100 off 100 balls, well, that only works on certain occasions in certain parts of the world.
Yeah, well, Dean Jones is going to hang out with us. This is great. I mean, he came out firing on the Stark issue. I mean, it was almost a fight there between Junior and Dino. It was outstanding and very entertaining. But Dino, there was one term that was thrown around to describe you by Mark Waugh off air in terms of your playing days, and that is show pony. Obviously, we want to...
Well, showman.
Showman. Okay, yeah. Showman.
Backtracked a lot, didn't he?
We want to come back and talk to you about that that show pony claim. And trust me, it was showman. Show pony. It wasn't showman. We'll come back and talk to you. Obviously, you know, so many great memories of watching Dino out there. So we will get back to this. It is Dean Jones, our special guest, on Willow Talk. Dean Jones is our guest. You're listening to Willow Talk. This is a man who was one of our great one-day batsmen, obviously won World Cup in 87, the 89 Ashes, Order of Australia. Great to have Dino on. And Junior described him as a show pony.
Yeah, no, showman. Show pony's probably not quite the right word, but no, Jonesy was a very fine player, both in test matches and one-day cricket, and I reckon he was a bit ahead of his time in the game, one-day game especially, running between wickets and hitting the gaps and, you know, all those sorts of things. But I just remember
actually run three is what you're trying to say.
he was pretty quick, yeah. Yeah, well, not with Booney or Swampy or AB, but or Tubbs, yeah. But... there's a couple of occasions, incidents on the field, and Jonesy sort of attracted incidents. The couple I want to talk about, Jonesy, the sweatband issue with Kirtley Ambrose in Sydney.
That was a good idea, wasn't it?
I don't know what the hell you're doing there. And then the second one was in Guyana in the West Indies where you got bowled off a no ball, then you got run out when you were walking off. Just tell us through those. Talk us through those two incidents.
Well, how long we got?
Just summarise it.
All right,
what were you doing in Sydney?
I had a busted thumb. Wasn't Macron broke my thumb in the one-day series that we had against the West Indies and Pakistan, the tri-series, and had Damian Martin hot on my backside trying to get a spot, and I took an injection in my thumb, and I don't know, the stuff might have gone to my brain, I suppose, but and it's still there. Many people both think it's still there. So, we were all struggling, as you know, against Kirtley, and I just thought, well, he's bowling it into a shoebox outside off stump. I'm legally allowed to ask him to take his sweatbands off, maybe get his arousal levels up.
Well, yeah, good tactic, Jonesy. We struggled a lot more when he took his sweatbands off.
I tell you, you got 6 for 35, but he didn't get me out. I can tell you that right now. But you're 6 for 35.
Everyone else out. And what about the run out in Guyana? Because I was actually next in the bat. Did you get bowled by Malcolm Marshall off a no ball? Is that it?
No, I got bowled off Courtney Walsh. And we had, if you remember, we had to bat out that last day. And it's a pretty important day for that because I was batting with AB and I was just starting to get in. And anyway, one got through the gate on my stumps were rearranged, and when, as you know, when you get bowled, Junior, over in the West Indies, all the bands go off, and I started walking off through covers, and I took my gloves off, I took my helmet off, and then I looked back to AB to say, look, sorry, Skip, I've let you down, and he's, well, I'll clean it up, get back, it's a no ball.
Get back and behind and your crease.
And on the covers at this stage, and I started running back. Now, the interesting thing about this, I thought it was unfair play. They've picked up the stumps and they've ran me out. Now, I thought it was unfair play. I said to the umpire, how is that out? And he said, well, I thought you were taking a single.
Said, what's a dressing room?
Out it covers. That's rubbish.
So, it was a disgrace. It's the worst decision of all time. And we lost that test match and we won the next one. We got beaten, I think, was it? Junior, I think we got beat in Barbados.
We won on that tour, did we?
The next one in Antigua.
Dino, it's Swan here. So you're obviously in the camp who say Stokes shouldn't have been given out last week. That was disgusting. Exactly the same thing. Spirit of cricket and all that.
No, he nearly caught it. That's the thing. The only thing that upsets me is the fact that he nearly caught it. You're not allowed to touch the ball.
What's your verdict then, Dino?
Technically correct, morally wrong.
There we go. So Dino, I tell you what, Dino's great for a fiery, quick editorial. You get exactly what. Yeah, it's great stuff. So Dino, mate, obviously we're looking forward to a huge summer. You've got your views on various players and Stark and everything else, mate. But looking forward to the Kiwi series.
Well, I think we've got a problem in Bangladesh yet. I'm really worried about the fact that we might lose that series.
Yeah,
I really am.
What?
I'll go for the fact that. They had it. The Bangladeshis at home. They lost 1-0 against Pakistan in a test series. They drew a test series against India, and they drew a test series against South Africa. Now we haven't played well in the subcontinent, and we've only got one batsman that's made 100 in the subcontinent. We're going to be up against it, and if we think we can go in and have three quicks and two spinners, I'm thinking we're going around it the wrong way.
All right, well, guys, let's just get a quick verdict here. Dino has made the call that we are at risk at losing in Bangladesh. Does anyone else on the panel agree with him? Haydos or Swanee, could we actually lose?
I definitely agree.
I think you'll win fairly easily because I think Nathan Lyon will bowl them out. They're not a good batsman, Bangladesh.
And June?
I think it's a tricky tour simply because we've got a lot of players who haven't played there before. The pitches will turn, there'll be some pressure, and they have improved Bangladesh. They've got some decent batsmen, and they've got a couple of decent fast bowlers as well. If we play to our potential, we should win, but it could be tricky.
All right, I'll tell you what, though, Cookie, we're only a dodgy piece of chicken away from having a nightmare there as well, though. I can tell you that right now.
we won't ask Dino about dodgy food, that famous footage of him vomiting on the field in India.
Oh, Madras,
wow. That still gets run.
Don't ask him about that story.
No, though. We won't. He would have told that one a few times. Thanks so much for chatting to us. That is Dean Jones on Willow Talk. Thanks, Dino.
Good on you, James.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, good on you, Dino. See you, mate.
And coming up next, Graham Swan has his questions ready for Mark Waugh. It is Stump Junior Cricket Trivia time. Swanee, you got those questions? You're armed and ready to go?
Come on, Swanee,
I've got him. I've been up all week writing these. He's never getting these.
Gee, that's optimistic because he's been very good.
He's been phenomenal.
I've been tidy all the way through.
All right. Okay, so there'll be five questions. We'll see how he goes next. Stump Junior, feel free to play along on your weekend. It's Willow Talk. You're sure to beat Mark Waugh. That's one thing we know for sure. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden. It's Byron Cook over here. It's time for Stump Junior. And Haydos, this is where Swanee asks Junior a series of cricket trivia questions. What is the general feeling amongst our team as to how this is all working?
To cheat.
That was Graham. I think that's harsh. I'm not sure. I'm not. As I've said, I've had one eyebrow, and they're not small. It's been particularly raised, creased in the centre, for the better part of 12 weeks. So I'm not sure.
That's what I'm told. I turn up here and do my all best. Right. That's all I can do.
So here we go. Now Swanee is in the UK. Haydos is actually with him. Which
Swanee
is
Swanee awake over there?
They're in the
today.
Same room there, and they've got the questions in front of them.
Unusually quiet.
Junior is ready to go to answer these questions. It's five questions. His average is around about the 3.2 mark.
Oh, it's lifted a bit, hasn't it?
Let's see how he goes here. Over to you, Swanee.
Right, Junior.
Yes, Swanee.
Get ready. Right, number one, what type of cricket ball was made in Sri Lanka in November 2004? Oh, a very special cricket ball.
It's made in Sri Lanka.
It's a toughie, straight up.
A leather one with stitches on it. suppose you're looking at a certain colour, are you? Maybe. Right,
you just tell me what kind of ball was made. It'll be there underneath the question on your
sheet. This is a trick question. It's got to be a trick question, this one. I think maybe a white ball and a pink ball. For day-night cricket.
Okay, look, unfortunately, that's incorrect.
Got him, yes. What?
The answer,
it was actually
the
a
answer is, in fact,
ball.
A diamond cricket ball. So that's unusual.
Have I got the wrong sheet in front of me?
Sorry.
Anyway, look, why don't we get on to question two? There seems to be an issue here.
A diamond cricket ball.
Question two, Junior. Before Steve Smith in the second test match of this Ashes, when was the last time an Australian player scored a double hundred at Lord's? What year?
Is that two questions? Who was the player and what year?
No, when was the last time an Australian player? Oh. You don't need to come out of the player.
What did Michael Slater get at Lord's? Jeez, he got close to 200, didn't he? Did he get 190-odd? That's not 200.
We went the last time an Australian player scored a double hundred.
I do not know.
You're just passing.
Can I pass?
Is that next question?
Pass.
Okay, next question. Pass. Someone's panicking here.
Never passed.
I'm passing.
Okay.
What's the answer?
You've passed.
No, you've passed.
We can come back to it.
People who are listening want to know the answer.
We'll answer it at the end.
Yeah, right, at the end. We'll get there.
This is going to prove whether you listen to a word I say or not, or just talk about your own hundreds. Over the last few weeks, I've been mistaken for two former English cricketers. I've mentioned them in recent episodes. Who are they?
The thing, I have been listening, Swanee. The thing is, they're two good-looking chaps, too. They would be awesome. Dominic Cork and Ashley Giles.
Oh, that is correct.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so he's got that. He listens to Swanee. Yep. He's at one out of three. Okay,
number
question four.
The Indians are playing some ODIs in Australia soon. After Virat Kohli's debut, so since Virat Kohli has played, how many times have India chased down 300-plus targets?
300-plus? Well, that's not easy to do. But
it's quite big, isn't it, 300?
He's the king at chasing.
300's really, it's really sort of 250, isn't it, in days gone past. Everyone gets 300 these days. I'd say about 17. Would that be right?
Got him, yes!
No, unfortunately, it's not 17. The correct answer is 5. So this is highly unusual.
Oh, what a stitch-up.
Doesn't appear to correspond with his answer sheet.
17 did sound a lot.
Should we read the fifth question?
It's an awful lot.
I think we should do number 5. we were talking about the Kiwis earlier. Kiwis coming to Australia in New Zealand.
You got one.
In New Zealand, this is still shown every night on TV. When the underarm ball was bowled, the famous underarm ball, who was the batsman at the non-striker's end?
Well, I think the batsman was McKechnie, wasn't it? Non-striker's end, I think it was Jeff Howarth.
Got him, yes.
That's incorrect.
It is.
It's Bruce Edgar.
Bruce Edgar? I knew it was a top order player.
So finally.
I'm sorry, everyone listening.
It looked like Jeff Howarth.
Finally. Haydos and Swanee.
That was a good guess, though, wasn't
this
it?
This is a magical moment for our show, isn't it, Haydos and Swanee? We know Junior's has been looking at an answer sheet for the last 3 months. And we've given him the incorrect answer sheet, and he's bluffed, he's flubbed his way through the segment. He's absolutely stuffed it.
Which is quite good.
And hey, Junior, here's the correct answer sheet, mate, for next time. There you go, mate. There we go. Read those out next time.
Oh, dear.
Oh. How would you get them anyway? Seriously.
Stump
no
Junior.
One would get them.
Stump Junior on Willow Talk.
My answers were good.
You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. Obviously, a lot of high-profile retirements in your Australian cricket team during the Ashes series and the Tour of England. And it opens up, Haydos, I would have thought, a pathway for a lot of younger players. And that's why we thought we'd bring this next guest onto the show as an example of that. Our under-19 Australian rep and a rookie for the Sydney Thunder, Jonty Patterson, is on the line.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Hey, Jonty. It must be exciting. Under-19 Australian team. You've got a number of players, as Cookie just said, that have retired. Excited about the future? What's that look like for you?
Yeah, well, we just, luckily enough, to just come back from England, which was great trip over there, and it was the first trip for a lot of us boys the first time. And to have coaches like Graham Hick and Greg Chappell over there with us, well, really can't complain about that, can you? So I loved it.
How did you get on, Chauncey? Did you beat the English, or did we triumph like we always do in England these days at cricket?
we were lucky enough. We had one four-day game, which ended in a draw. And we were meant to play five more one-day games, and it was 2-2 with one washout. So it all equaled up to a draw.
So not even your 19s couldn't win over here, Junior? Not even your 19s could win in England these days?
Oh.
Hey!
All right, now just keep quiet for a second, Swanee, so I can ask Johnny a question, will you? Johnny, just tell us a bit more about yourself, mate. Who you play for in Sydney, what you do. You're an all-rounder, I believe, but just expand on your talents and who you play for.
Yeah, well, I live on the Central Coast, so but I play good down start. In Sydney for Sydney Uni, so I commute up there every weekend to play cricket. But obviously, I bowl leg spin and try to bat in the middle order when I can, but unsuccessfully most of the time. But it's still good fun.
Mate, you've seen the way that Australia capitulated over in England from a batting sense. Graham's cheering, obviously, but. Mate, the future of 2020 cricket in particular, you know, how that influences the longer formats of the game. You know, you said that you were coached by Hick, who, you know, was a fabulous player, and Greg Chappell, who's an absolute legend. What sort of conversations were they having with batsmen around, you know, the tempo of innings and how you go about that, structuring that?
Yeah, well, we didn't play a 2020 game over there. First game was a four-day game, so a lot of our work was more on just, especially over there, getting ourselves in and working from there, and not feeling like we have to go from ball one, because four-day game, a few of us hadn't played a four-day game before over there, so no one was really sure about how to go about it. So we put a lot of work on actually just the tempo of the game, and you have a lot more time than you think, really. So that was the main thing over there for us.
And Johnny, just tell us about your experience with the Sydney Thunder. Now, you were the rookie contracted player there last year. I believe you took five in a trial game, didn't you, including Mike Hussey and Jack Callis. How was that experience?
Yeah, well, that was a lot of luck on behalf of me there. I didn't do too much. But
Well, they weren't all caught in the fence, were they?
well, a couple of them, but yeah. Oh, well.
That's all right. Deceived them through the air, that's all right.
But no, it was a great experience. Playing against blokes like Callis and Hussey, like not many people get to do that. No, I was really grateful for it and lucky enough to get a few wickets, but it was just good fun.
Well, guys, just think of the age differential between Callis and Jonty Patterson. He's probably about 27 years older than him. Extraordinary.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Swanee, what do you got to say for yourself, mate?
Well, Jonty, I heard you say earlier you played for Sydney Uni. I know for a fact that Greg Matthews, the greatest spinner in Australian history, played for Sydney Uni. Tell me he's not your role model, because if he is, you're screwed, mate.
I haven't had too much to do with him. He left the club before I got there, but met him a few times, and yeah, he's a good bloke. I get along with him well.
Well, what about Tom Healy? He was in the 19s with you, wasn't he, as well, mate? How's he going?
Yeah,
he's cheeky as his dad.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it in our team. He's a bit of a clown in the team, but it's always good fun.
Great. And any truth to the rumour that Graham Swan is a hero and a mentor of yours?
If he bowled leg spin, he would be. Everyone's leg spinners is always Shane Warne. But
he's never heard of you. That's
he wouldn't have.
Well, look, Jonty Patterson, someone we'll be keeping our eye out for in the future. Obviously part of the Sydney Thunder on the rookie list last year, and an Australian under-19 rep, mate. Continued success. You're an example of the sort of players that are coming through. Thanks for chatting to Willow Talk.
Yeah, good luck,
thanks,
mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Jonty.
And coming up, guys, another great guest on Willow Talk, a guy who could really get on with the job and does, Scott Styrus. I mean, here is a guy who's hit the third fastest T20 century of all time. 37 balls.
Yeah, good.
He doesn't muck around,
does he? Going cookie. That's
how is that the third fastest? How have two people got quicker than 37 balls? It's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
A bit sluggish, isn't it, 37?
Yeah. By opening with a six and continuing with lots of sixes, I would imagine. But we will get to it. Scott Styrus, our guest next on Willow Talk.
The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with Willow and Leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Another big hour on Willow Talk. Mark Junior Waugh in our Australian studios. We've got Matty Hayden and Graham Swan in the UK. Byron Cook over here. And the Kiwis are headed down under for the Test Series. So we thought we'd get a Kiwi on, Haydos.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, look out, the Kiwis. I saw them ahead of the Ashes Test Match Series here against the Poms, and they look red hot. They lost the series,
drew the series.
But I tell you what, they're going to be really hard work, and Scotty's played a lot for New Zealand. He's also seen a lot of IPL cricket, so he's kind of been on a wave of cricket in general. So I'd be interested to pick his brains today.
Yeah, the Scotty you reference, of course, is Scotty Styris, a player who can really get on with the job. The third fastest T20 century in history is to his name, and he'll join us next on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Graham Swan, Matthew Hayden and Mark Waugh. Our next guest, a Kiwi, and with the Kiwis heading to Australia, we thought this would be a good time to get him on. 29 tests, 160 ODIs, and just the equal third fastest T20 century of all time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, 37 thank you very much.
Balls.
Slow as a
took
week.
Your time,
Scott.
You already messed around.
Just played himself in for at least a ball. Scott Styris is on the line, guys.
Mate, I really wanted to get you on the show just to apologise because you and I, seriously, how much did we go head-to-head with each other? I'm not sure if I could put the crosshairs on anyone more than I put them on you, bud.
Yeah, to say that it was a battle, though, is not quite right either. I just stood there and took it.
Warner
McGrath were going. You had it easy standing there flirting, and you were
wasn't he? I know exactly where you're coming from, Scotty.
Why were you picking on Scotty Styris, Haydos? Why?
Oh, mate, Scotty loved it. He gave as much as what he got. I can tell you that right now.
What'd you say back to Haydos?
Well, you see, I'm not that smart. I'm not that quick, so it would take me.
What do you think, Haydos is?
All this stuff is very similar to mine.
You know, obviously, this summer it's you guys coming out to us in three Test match series. I don't know what you're thinking, but I reckon New Zealand's got a fairly big chance of beating Australia at home this summer.
I think they're the best team in the world at the minute. I've said it. There, it's out.
Yeah, look, you know. Well, that's good to hear that actually. But I think you're right. I think New Zealand will go in as favourites solely because of the changes that Australia have had to make with the retirements and maybe a couple of injuries and even the amount of cricket that the Australians have played. Bangladesh, straight after the Ashes, the World Cup, the IPL, those Aussies look out on their feet to some degree. So I think New Zealand can be disappointed if they don't win this series, which is, it's been a very long time since New Zealand toured Australia where you would speak like that.
Have they ever won in Australia? Win a series.
Yeah, they did. It's actually, the 30th anniversary when Sir Richard Hadley took 15 wickets at the Gabba. So and they won that series 2-1 from memory. So I think it's that sort of length of time that we're talking that New Zealand did well over there in a series. You know, one-off test matches maybe, but, in a series. So it's going to be interesting. They're looking forward to it, the New Zealand boys as well.
Another serious question, Scotty. What's been the reason for the biggest change in New Zealand cricket? Is it the pitches you're playing at domestic level? Is it just a good group of players coming through? Is it an attitude coming from the skipper? Is there one thing that's really given New Zealand cricket a shot in the arm?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not one thing. It's all of those things you mentioned. I think Brendan McCullum's leading the side incredibly well at the moment. He's got the group behind him, and they're going in a direction that and got a culture in that group that he believes will work best, and it is working well. New Zealand also traditionally has, because of the size of the population, we don't get a huge group of players coming through together, or we can do, but then we might go 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years before we get another group. And I just think at the moment it's a bit of a golden run or a golden patch of players coming through together, especially with the ball. There's quite a group now, headlined by Southee and Bolt. But the guys in behind are pretty good in their own right too. So I think at the moment there's a good group of players led well by McCullum, and they're all young and getting better, and the team's on the way up.
Yeah, now Scotty Styris is going to hang out with us after this next song. We'll come back and talk more with Scotty. He talks about the small New Zealand population, guys. What about Scotty's phone number? We've called him. There's about six digits in it.
37. I thought he was taking the mickey last night when we copied it down.
Well, look, that can't be right.
A bit too many for you, Cookie.
How's that going to... Hey, whoa. Okay, so Scotty Styris is going to hang out. This is Willow Talk with Junior, Swanee and Haydos. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swann and Matthew Hayden. It's Byron Cook here with the guest Scott Styris on the line. Obviously, we are set for a big summer. The Kiwis headed to Australia. Our focus has been the Ashes and the tour of England up to this point, Haydos. But you are in England with Swanee, and what a great guest to have. Scotty Styris, 29 tests for New Zealand and 160 ODIs.
And also, there's no question that Scotty is one of the stitch-up merchants from hell. I mean, seriously, I've only roomed with him or you know, been working with him post-cricket, obviously, even though we did play for the same side in the Chennai Super Kings. But in broadcast sense, we were working together in the IPL, and he came up with one of the best stitch-ups. Scotty, tell us about that, mate.
Well, I played for the Deccan Chargers as well, and without dropping some names in the crap, Adam Gilchrist and Andrew Solomon said you were one of the tightest men they ever played with. And
I concur.
So because of that, you know, yeah, I don't know how, if that's what everyone else would, Mark Warfield, the same
way.
But
yeah.
Yeah,
and then well, anyone who doesn't, have a punt on the horses, there's something wrong with them.
But basically, yeah, I just ended up charging all my internet premium account to Haydos's room throughout the IPL, and some of the battles, or the big battle he had for an hour, going at the manager of this hotel, who refused to pay about $5.50
for this
internet was ridiculous.
Yeah, but tell us how
was
you
it
did
about
it.
£5 or something?
No, it was significant. It was $3.50.
No, well, I mean, they're pretty clever in India. All you've got to do is put your last name and room number in, and I could charge anything I like to it. So
it's Scotty, how good do you think New Zealand can be? I mean, they're a good team at the minute, but, you know, once you get electricity and stuff like that and you can train in the winter, how good can you be? I had to do it.
I think that's the first joke that doesn't have a sheep in it. So we're moving on. We're getting there.
Well,
been bagging Aussies for 12 weeks, so now he's on the Kiwis.
I love Kiwis. I've said that. They're like Aussies without the chips on their shoulders. They're brilliant.
Oh, wow. He's just offending everybody now. Scotty, every week we ask this question thanks to Flight Centre. Be prepared and book early at flightcentre.com.au. It's all about being prepared. Did you have any quirky preparation habits going into matches?
Well, yeah, I had one. For some reason, the day before every international, I wouldn't train as such in the Nets. I would just have our physiotherapist bowl to me.
That's a good tackle. Yeah. That's a good tackle, that one.
Like you say, they haven't got a lot of people to pick from. The physios, also the bowler, the coach driver, school teacher.
Yeah, that was it. And I'm not sure, looking back, I'm not sure it worked.
That's a good way of getting out of training, isn't it?
That's in 12 weeks the quirkiest one we've had yet. That was outstanding.
Warney used to do that. He used to pretend he was injured so he didn't have to bowl or train too hard.
Scotty, what are you making for the IPL stuff, in particular two sides that have been now dismissed from the competition?
Look, I think it's incredibly sad, and but the tournament's an amazing tournament. It's a lot of fun to be a part of, both on the field and off in the commentary box. And you just see how it lights up that country whenever the tournament is there. To have these scandals involved, I think it's incredibly disappointing, because it's such a competition that could keep taking cricket forward, especially in that region. And great if they could sort it out as quickly as possible, because I'd hate to see that tournament sort of in the next couple of years. And, you know, we hear all sorts of rumours, and whether they're true or not, in terms of, you know, moving on to 10 teams, or if they take out these two, then they're back to six, what are they going to do? But it'd be fantastic if they could sort it quickly, because it is such a lot of fun, and the people of India just really getting behind it.
Yeah, all right. Scott Styris, we'll keep an eye on that, obviously, and also the upcoming series, Australia versus New Zealand in Australia. Great to have him on the show. 29 tests, 160 one-day internationals for New Zealand. Thanks for being a part of Willow Talk, Scott.
Anytime, guys. Cheers
Scotty. Hero, mate.
Scotty Styris, also part of this big match in London that Haydos is over there for, the Help for Heroes 11. Mm-hmm. So we actually have a special guest in about 10 minutes, Corporal Jason Wilkes. He is a war hero and a beneficiary of this match. This will be a very different conversation, but a really important one. It is coming up on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swann. The reason that Matthew Hayden is in the same studio as Graham Swann, other than the fact that they're good mates over there in the UK, is for what was a very successful charity match, the Help for Heroes 11 versus the rest of the world. And this was huge. It was a massive event. We have on the line somebody who's heavily involved with this cause. He was injured in Iraq in 2006, suffers with post-traumatic stress disorder. He raises awareness of mental health problems for our returned servicemen. Also a very useful cricketer, Haydos. Jason Wilkes is on the line.
G'day, Jace. How are you, mate?
Hi there. Good morning.
Tell us about the role that cricket plays for you now after service.
Cricket played a great role in helping with my recovery. I played cricket as a young man before I joined the military. And once I joined the military, cricket went on the back burner because it was a bit of an officer's sport. I was a better boxer and footballer and rugby player. But after being injured in 2006 in Iraq in a suicide car bombing incident, and then subsequently getting discharged from the army with post-traumatic stress disorder, Help the Heroes started up a cricket team, and I thought, why not relive your youth and go and play cricket? So, you mean last year, first game for them at North Hants, cricket was my first thing. He says, oh, we want to have a look at you, see what you like. Do you mind going out and opening? I says, no, I don't mind going out and opening. So I went out and opened and scored 52 off 16 balls. So, bit of a good start.
Nice. That's incredible stuff. Listen, we met last night, didn't we? And could you believe that this Help for Heroes game, the actual scope of it? Can you explain to the guys listening in Australia some of the names you saw in that bar last night?
It was just incredible. You mean Herschel Gibbs, Sehwag was in there, yourselves. You mean Brendan McCullum was having a chat with us. You mean Alan Lammy? I mean, I watched Lammy and Bothman stuff when I was a young lad and stuff, and seeing those sort of people. It's just a surreal sort of thing for somebody like myself who just went away and served his country and different things out, but to come to something like this and to play in an event like this, it was just amazing.
Just getting back to what cricket has meant, but also, I guess a lot of people that call cricketers and sports people heroes, but, you know, as I said, you know, over the last few days, it's you guys that really are the heroes. And for us, it's inspirational, as I'm sure it is for both of our nations, to understand the depths of the trauma that you guys have been through. Can you tell us a little bit about that personal journey? What on a daily basis do you feel and think once you're back in just normal civilian life, how that actually works for you?
It's been a roller coaster when you suffer with post-traumatic stress disorder, depression and a few other things. Every day is not a good day. I've had a lot of counselling over the years and different things. And all I do now is I have like coping mechanisms when it comes to different things. I take myself away from situations. That's one of the reasons why I don't drink. I boxed and different things. And I had a couple of incidents with drink, and I just turned around and I said, no, I've got a family now. So I take that out of the equation now, because you don't feel as though you're in control. And you mean playing cricket and all these other things, what it does is it focuses your mind on trying to ball somebody out, or focusing on the red ball or the white ball. And you're not thinking about, you mean the suicide car bomber, I saw his face when he detonated the bomb, and I used to wake up and have nightmares and flashbacks about all these different things. And I just use cricket to take away that focus, and I just focus on playing cricket and enjoying it.
And Haydos, this has obviously been a great opportunity for the guys, not only to help the very worthwhile cause, but of course we've had a number of returned servicemen in the actual match, Haydos. So, you know, you look at the squads and you've got legends like MS Dhoni and Graham Swan, what a legend he is.
Thank
with,
you so much.
With the likes of Corporal Jake Ray and Lieutenant Commander Jonathan Parker. So that's a great opportunity for those guys, isn't it, Haydos?
Look, Cookie, it's a remarkable week. I mean, London as a city alone is a remarkable place to visit for obvious reasons, but to be here with the purpose of having some awareness and funds in particular raised for ex-servicemen, because as I said before to Jace, it's these guys that we live under the blanket of their own protection, and we're very privileged and extremely humbled to be in the presence of these great heroes and legends.
Yeah, well said, Jason. Mm-hmm. And mate, I'm sure it's been a great week for you. It's one you won't forget, I bet.
No. You mean like you're saying, to meet the legends and to go out and play at the Oval and stuff, when you saw all those guys playing there years ago, just been a fantastic experience. You know what I mean? I just like to say thanks to everybody who's been partnering and and organising and stuff, and especially to Matthew last night. We had a really good chat last night, and he was actually doing a baton masterclass in the bar with us because I had some signed bats there and stuff. So it was really good, you know what I mean? And it was surreal because we were asking him questions about baton and about different things. And you mean, it was great of him to engage with us and show us. You mean, you know, the only thing is he's a left-hander and all the rest of us are right-handers, but you know, sure. I mean, it made a lot of sense.
So on behalf of all the cricketers there, I just want to say thank you for taking Haydos away from us for a bit, because God, he chews you off in a bar.
Great stuff. Look, this is fantastic. And obviously one great way to stay in touch with Jason is on Twitter, and that's what we do, at Jason Wilkes, WWTW. He's raising awareness of mental health problems, PTSD, and a number of issues. So a great guy to follow on Twitter and stay in touch with. Jason, thanks for your time, mate. It's much appreciated.
No problem. Thanks very much for having us.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah, thanks again to Corporal Jason Wilkes. Of course, if you are having any issues whatsoever, Lifeline is available to you, 13 11 14, and there is the Beyond Blue website as well, beyondblue.org.au. You're listening to Willow Talk with Haydos, Swanee and Junior. Willow Talk, Mark Waugh in the Aussie studios, Matthew Hayden over there with Graham Swan, and this is Byron Cook. Well, for the last time, because this is the last Willow Talk of the season.
Very emotional, isn't it?
There is emotions here. Tears are flowing. Graham Swan with Swanee's Wrong, and this is where Swanee impersonates cricketing personalities. And Swanee, because it's our last episode for some time, there'll be some tearful farewells, I would have thought.
Well, I invited everyone back in, everyone who'd starred. I invited to come back in just to say a goodbye to everyone. Not everyone accepted.
Sure. I'm here though, mate. I'm here to console you.
But yeah, so they're all just queuing up outside, actually. I think they're just going to come in one by one and eulogise about Mark Waugh's hundreds, I think.
Just remembering them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we get the dings as well, Cookie?
Really good. The dings will go off every time Mark Waugh mentions one of his tons or any of our...
I have not mentioned 100 for weeks on end.
You've been good this week.
But some of your mates might. That's why.
Okay, so who's...
More than 12, though, so I suppose two on average. Wait,
you talking about test one day or first class?
Here we go.
Test, ding.
Swanee, who's first? Who have we got there?
Just coming in. Hey, Junior. It's great to see. I thought you played so that 100 on debut you got, at Adelaide. Ah, I remember turning to my friend and saying, they've got another brother as well called Mark, and he's even better than this kid. It was great to watch.
Alan Lamb? Who's that?
There it is. Woo-wee.
Oh, Lamb. Alan Lamb. Oh, there Lamb-y. We go.
That wasn't one of your best, Swanee. Still, we got it.
Who
got it?
It's not me. It was Alan Lamb.
Sorry, Alan. He was seedy, though, wasn't he, Lammy?
I also watched that knock that day, and I thought he's a joke. This war, no feet, driving on the covers, on the up. Not like his brother. He's a proper batsman. War a few, defensive batsman. Oh, I could watch Steve play all day, but I couldn't watch Mark. No.
What about Haydos? No, you like watching Haydos play?
He's rubbish.
Oh, don't stand me on Aiden. Joke. What a joke of a player. Straight six in the first morning of a test match should be banned.
Wow.
All his records should be struck off.
Star-studded. Oh, we've had Alan Lamb.
Jeffrey's in a right all mood there again. Unbelievable. Oh, dear. Well, you know, my favourite Mark Waugh moment was that time. You remember, 99 at Lord's, ball through his legs. I felt tough. Oh, I laughed. Oh, I cried. Oh, dear. Off you pop more. Off you get.
Is that Bumble?
His mullet's still on the outfield. He walked off that slowly. It's still there, still dragging off. Incredible.
There's a bit of Welsh in that, wasn't there? A bit of Welsh.
So that was Bumble and Jeffrey Boycott. Yeah, great. Anyone else around?
Joy. Oh, I like Mark Waugh. My dad had this thing called a video player, and he had a video of Mark Waugh. Didn't have a CD or DVD. It was before his time, because he's proper old. He were about 40 and I were 2, and he used to bat with a white thing hanging out of his trousers. Oh, I love that. So I thought I'd be a show dog as well. So I'm a bit of a show pony, just like me here on Mark.
Sweatband, yeah.
That's such a young Joe Root, I think. Yeah.
He couldn't run between the wickets either, so I'm just like him there.
You called that right. Yeah, Junior wasn't that good between the wickets.
Oh, wow.
I think there's one more person. Hang on.
I hope it is.
It's definitely you think it is. I'd like to say, for the record, that I scored more centuries than Mark Waugh ever could. I was so good. I do what I do. And I'd like to, if Mark would ever need to sit down and watch my DVDs, I would let him. It'd be my pleasure. Signing off. Good night.
Guys, so you know, there they were, several of the personalities just that we met. We discovered Swanee's many talents over the last 3 months on the show. But there we go. Haydos, and you're over there with Swanee for the last show. You guys will probably have a little party after this.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I think we deserve a party.
We've been partying the whole 12 weeks.
Because I don't feel like I need to go back to bed for 24 hours at all at the moment. I say just, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Nah, it's been heaps of fun, Cookie. It's been a lot of fun. And we have had, you know, some really outstanding help from all the boys that have come in. We've had some superstars that
Warnie,
have come on
Punter,
board. Good.
Yeah.
AB, Jonesy. Who else we had?
And we've sat through, you know, England winning the Ashes, Australia winning the important one, the 5-match one-day series.
Yeah, that was key, wasn't it?
Glenn McGrath, Steve Waugh. I mean, the list just goes on and on of who we had. And June, a big summer for you. More selections and more Big Bash.
Yeah, Big Bash, selections. What else? Racing, playing golf.
Well, it's all coming up, isn't it, June now? Yeah, summer racing.
Very
programs.
Hectic.
All right, it's all happening.
Mowing the lawns. You name it.
An exciting finish to a series there. Thank you very much. That's Graham Swan, Matthew Hayden and Mark Waugh. Byron Cook here. It's been a great 3 months, and that is it for Willow Talk.